Praise be God to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In a sermon that Pastor Mark presented in April, he taught us about the conversion of Paul. From the very beginning, Paul believed that he was destined to stand proudly before God in full righteousness. He had been circumcised on the eighth day. He was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee and a zealous defender of the Jewish church. And he proudly claimed that as to righteousness under the law, he was blameless. That was Paul. He was full of zeal. He was full of passion. And he was full of himself. But after his conversion, he viewed his resume in a far different light. He writes, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish." This was Paul's conversion experience. The event itself was very dramatic, and it was immediately life-changing. Now, what about you? Can you point to a specific time in your life when you met Jesus on the road to Damascus? For some, you can answer in the affirmative, but I would guess that for many of us, we can't relate. For me, I grew up in a very strong religious family. We attended church services every Sunday, sometimes on the weekdays before school, and we were very active in the church. And our home life, and even our home's decor, reflected our devotion to God. And so every time that I read the story of Paul's conversion, I would reflect on my own life. And I'd be a bit ashamed that I could not point to anything even remotely similar in my past. You see, I had been quietly converted through baptism when I was just a baby. And I was nurtured in my relationship with God ever since. And it seems childish now, but back then, I judged my favor with God based almost on the single fact alone. I related it to being like the good child in a family. A child that the parents didn't really have to worry about, and they could shift their attention to the other children, the ones that needed more attention. And I always wondered if they got a bigger helping of the Holy Spirit than I did. And as I look back, what I find interesting about these thoughts, they're not the obviousness of how wrong I was, but about how misunderstood I was about the Holy Spirit. I always saw him as this little angel that hung out with me, and he whispered into my heart, reminding me about God. But you see, I already knew about God. I already went to church. And so this little angel Holy Spirit guy had not a lot to do. And he didn't work very hard. But you see, today's passage, that corrects this misunderstanding. And I'd like to read a portion of it right now. It says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. all that the Father is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth. And for me, the Spirit of truth came into my life very quietly, very calmly, and through the waters of my baptism. But his work didn't stop after that conversion. He formed a union with me that continues to this day. He doesn't simply whisper in my ear with guidance. Instead, he's an intimate translator between me and God. And Paul even writes about this. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we would turn away from God. We would reject him. We would reject the grace and the mercy that he offers us through the work of Jesus Christ. We would find it foolish, and we would harden our hearts towards him. And most tragically, we would sever our relationship with him, and we would face eternal separation. And so when we receive him, through the sacrament of baptism, he takes residence in our hearts, and he connects us back into a relationship with God. And he does this through the work of Jesus Christ. And then he constantly intercedes on our behalf to ensure that this connection is never severed. And he does this by convicting us in our sin and delivering God's grace and his forgiveness through this faith that he grows stronger in our hearts. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's a work that never ends. And how do we respond to it? We respond to it by forming and nurturing our own relationships with others in the church and throughout the rest of the community and the world. For the invisible church, we use our spiritual gifts to lift up and support each other, to encourage each other, and to hold each other accountable for our actions. We come together today and we profess our failures, and then we worship in thanksgiving for the forgiveness of those sins through the sacrament of communion that we will share in today. And then after that, we go out into the world and we use these same spiritual gifts. We use them to build relationships with the lost. We use our gifts of music. We use our gifts of administration, of teaching, and serving to bring the Word of God to those who haven't heard it or have rejected it. And we intercede on behalf of the Holy Spirit that he would convict their hearts and form in them a faith that turns them back towards God. So you see, the work of the Holy Spirit is so much more than that little angel that keeps us on the right track. And he is so much more permanent than just being used for a dramatic transformation in our lives. He forms a union with us that is so intimate, so powerful, and for no other reason than to keep us in this constant communication and a constant relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. It is through Him that God pours out His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness to each one of us. This is what Jesus means when He says that all that belongs to the Father is mine. Jesus is an incomprehensibly intimate, personal, loving God. And He's in relationship with us and with God, the Creator of everything. And He sends to us the Holy Spirit so that we too can have that same thing. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, today we are reminded of You in the constant intercession that You provide between us and God. We understand that through You, God pours out His grace and mercy. And because of You, we are adopted as His children. We ask that You continue to strengthen our faith and draw us into a more intimate relationship with our loving Father. Holy Spirit, our sinful nature tempts us to look inwardly and place ourselves in the center of our lives. But because of You, we know that true everlasting life is only possible when we look outwardly and place God in that center. And so we ask that You give us the desire to respond to His relationship and to use these gifts to serve those around us. Help us see the opportunities that we have each and every day to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Give us the courage to act on these opportunities and to spread the gospel to every person that we come in contact with by the words that we use, the actions that we take, and the life that we live. And all of this we humbly ask in Your name. Amen.